It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
See them go on a run.
All right, let's bring in Woody Page, the all-time winner on Around the Horn, one of my favorite shows. He's one of the originators on Around the Horn. He's been with the Denver Gazette for quite some time after spending a long time with the Denver Post. He's covered the Broncos, the Avalanche, Nuggets. He's done it all. He's a Colorado Sports Hall of Famer, and he's an Around the Horn Hall of Famer. Woody Page, one of my favorites here on the River Islands guest line. Woody, thanks so much for joining us this morning. How are you doing today?
Well, I was doing great until you just read off my obituary.
Come on, Woody. You're on our cue, man. No, you're an accomplished man. We gotta talk about the resume. Maybe you should be proud of that. Pat yourself on the back. And you've been around so long, Woody, that you covered Mike Shanahan for so many years as he was a head coach of the Broncos from 95 to about 2008. And there's a lot of talk about Kyle Shanahan, obviously the son of Mike, and he learned the game through his father or whatnot. And a lot of people out here on the West Coast in the Bay Area, they want Kyle gone. There's a lot of rhetoric about firing Kyle Shanahan, and he's been so successful with this organization. I wanted to bring you on because I wanted to know how it ended in Denver and if there was similar dialogue about Mike Shanahan towards the tail end of his tenure in Denver. Obviously, he won back-to-back Super Bowls, and he had a lot of success with a lot of different running backs. But how did it end in Denver with Mike Shanahan? Did people just get tired of him? Did it become stale out there in Denver, Woody?
That's a very good question. Nobody's asked me that lately. But what happened is after that Super Bowl run, back-to-back, the Broncos lost a guy named John Elway. And Mike Shanahan, and the question always was about Bill Belichick without Tom Brady, Mike Shanahan without John Elway. Well, look what Belichick did after Tom Brady retired from, or moved on to Tampa Bay, I should say. And that's sort of what happened in Denver. Mike Shanahan, just a short history lesson, but the Broncos had drafted Brian Griese, who's back out with the 49ers, as you know. And he was supposed to be the successor to John Elway. And as Mike told me at the time, and even Brian would admit it now, from the neck up, Brian Griese was a great quarterback. From the shoulders down, he was a very lousy quarterback. And so that didn't work out for Mike Shanahan. And that basically, and then he brought in Jake Plummer. I'm sure you guys remember him.
Oh, yeah.
And Plummer had one nice year. The Broncos went to the AFC championship game against the Patriots after beating Pittsburgh. And then Mike Shanahan made a bad mistake. He drafted Jay Cutler. And Cutler, as both of you know, Cutler had a really mediocre career. One playoff appearance with the Chicago Bears after they got rid of him and brought in Cal Orton, who was much. But it might have been fatigue. In regard to not Mike Shanahan's fatigue, but the fatigue of Pat Bowlen, the late owner of the Denver Broncos, and so many people around Denver going, they had should have won the Super Bowl in 1995, and they were upset by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then the next 1996, then the next 2 years, it wasn't the Super Bowl, but it was a very average team. If you look, Mike's last 6-7 years, they had an overall 500 record. And so you have fan fatigue, you have media fatigue, you have ownership fatigue, and that seems to be happening out there. Cal got off to a slow start with 49ers and then came around and it became one of the best teams in organizations in football. And now there's the obvious fatigue that's setting in there. As you pointed out, that people think Cal Shanahan has changed as a coach, which isn't certainly obvious, but I'm not going to tell you anything you guys don't already know. The McCaffrey situation, you got a situation there where he's not come back strong after being injured most of the year. He had, I guess, his most carries this past weekend and lost to Seattle. But Mason may be a better running back even now, and maybe he needs more ticks. Mike Shanahan had a great offensive line and a great offensive concept in running the football.
Yeah,
people think about John Elway, but it was basically those 1,000-yard runners that came through here, including Terrell Davis, Hall of Famer. And the running game at the 49ers has dissipated. It's not the same strength of the team that it was in the last several years. And the defensive pressure because of injuries, Bosa being, I guess, the latest, and the young man that's been brought in, Garvin, is not, Joe Namath and I are friends, and when he played for the Jets, they'd go on the road, and he'd usually end up the evening with someone very nice. And one night in Pittsburgh, Bay Perley was his backup quarterback. And at about 10 o'clock, Joe Namath walked out of the bar with a woman, and all of his teammates said, Joe, what are you doing? And he said, guys, it's midnight, and Miss America ain't coming in.
Damn.
So that's kind of, guess what? 49ers? Miss America ain't coming in.
All right, Woody, we got Woody Page with us here. Just an absolute legend. Denver Gazette, all-time winner on Around the Horn. And no, I'm not reading your obituary.
Adding Garvin to the practice squad is not Miss America coming in at midnight.
No, what is your feel and your read? Because you brought up CMC. Bonte's talked about it for a decade since Kyle got here. Like, the Shanahans, they'll go through running backs. They'll cycle through them. And we thought we hit on one in CMC, and he had a monster year. And then he got hurt. And then it looked like Jordan Mason was having a monster year. And now they're back to CMC, and we're seeing none of Mason. What's your feel on how he's used the running backs? Is there any similarities between Mike and Kyle in that sense, or are they different?
Well, I think when you are run-dominated, even though you think about again, Mike Shanahan with John Elway, that running backs have a short shelf life. You better get it out of them while you can, because, we don't see a Henry or a Barkley that can sustain it over the course of the season. Particularly when you add, you guys know, when you add more games to the NFL, you're putting more pressure, more injuries, more possibilities of downfall than what happened in 16 game seasons, or me going back to 14 game seasons. I think I go back to 8 game seasons covering this.
Leather helmets, Woody? Is that what you said? No face mask?
Yeah. I didn't cover the 1918 Chicago Black Sox, but I was there shortly after, I think.
27 Yankees.
you use up running backs. That's why they don't make the same kind of money they used to make. I mean, they were the premier divas in the league, and now it's wide receivers, because wide receivers tend to have longer and more successful careers. And you try, I believe, just from being an observer of this game for 50 years, that you use up those running backs pretty quickly. I would do more with Mason and McCaffrey, and try not to push McCaffrey into 25 carries a game, or touches of 35. He's still coming off an incredible injury. And I just tell you, as an aside, it's really funny that I've known Mike Shanahan since he just came in the league. He came from Florida, mm-hmm. and was bought in by Dan Reeves, the late Dan Reeves, to sort of tutor, even though he was younger than John Elway, to tutor John Elway. And he figured out that the strength, and became offensive coordinator of the Broncos, that the strength of that team was a veteran offensive line and using those running backs and finding guys that could rush for, and they had that strong offensive line, as I said, and I'm seeing the same results. Mike Shanahan's wife, Peggy, it was my interior decorator when he came in. That's when he was not making very much money. And the McCaffreys, I know the entire family. I lived like two blocks from them for years. And I've known Christian since he was a kid. I've known Kyle since he was a kid.
So you've known Mike for so long, and you know Kyle as a kid. What's Mike's role with the 49ers? What do you think Mike is doing with the 49ers? Well, is he still involved?
Mike's got Mike's name is on a restaurant, Steakhouse, here, and I saw him about 3 weeks ago because we were talking about the Hall of Fame. He doesn't want to discuss it, but he's the next strongest coaching, even though Belichick's out of the game. I think Mike's the next one to go in. And I've asked him his role. He sold his home in Denver. He lives a lot in Mexico. He lives in San Francisco, they have grandkids in different places. He watches every practice on a laptop. He and his son talk regularly, if not daily, and he offers up, because Mike was called the mastermind. He's a brilliant coach for years and years. But again, we go back to what you said at the beginning. People get tired of losing. That's what happened in Denver after the 49ers and the Broncos were the greatest franchises in the NFL in the 90s. And then the Broncos, went to pits. I was looking for a word that was a four-letter word, and that was
don't not worry. Everybody curses on the show, Woody. People aren't comfortable cursing on the show, so you will fit right in.
I'm just saying that it's kind of deja vu for the Shanahan family because Kyle's now going through what Mike went through. But you still have a Super Bowl that the parents, it's right in your rearview mirror. So it's too early. And the funny story that maybe has not been told much out there is that John Elway tried to bring back Mike Shanahan after Vance Joseph's rookie season as a head coach. And because of the health of Pat Bowlen, a guy named Joe Ellis, who was his concierge, and I mean that, I did that but as a president might say, I use that word incorrectly on purpose, but Joe Ellis was the one who basically poo-pawed John Elway bringing Mike Shanahan back, so he never had another coaching job. But father and son, in regard to San Francisco, Mike's always there for Kyle. Mike doesn't call anything during the games. He doesn't, Al Davis used to call his coaches on the sideline and go, here's plays for you to run. And I was around when Al Davis called down to the sideline to John Madden and got Red Miller, the Broncos coach, instead. The phones got hooked up incorrectly.
Woody, let me ask this question. We see Mike at all the games. Bonte sits right underneath his like press box, and so
the suite,
where he sees Mike all the time. I mean, so they're basically running it together, huh? The Niners, like, they've kind of got carte blanche. He must like it out here if he's living in Mexico and in San Francisco, basically full time.
Yeah, he makes regular appearances in Denver because he still has family here. But I would just say that. He's not running the team, but he is a lot of teams now. That just happened in Baltimore, where the Ravens brought back Don Pease, the ex-coordinator, because they have a rookie defensive coordinator, and they brought Pease out of retirement, and you've seen a change in the Ravens. So that's kind of the role that Mike. He's not at practices most of the time, but he's there in. His presence is felt in the coaching staff, and his philosophies and not orders, but his suggestions, I'll put it that way, recommendations are taken. But you can't run an offense. I would say this about Mike. Mike never paid much attention to defense, and as a result of that, he ran through a lot of defensive coordinators. And Kyle's kind of the same way. He turns the defense over to a coordinator because he's so intent on, you know, running the offense by himself. But I think two things have to happen there. Just from a distance, again, and I'm not out there, and if people want to call and say, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about, they're probably correct. But I've been on, you know, national TV for the last 25 years. I don't know how long, much longer that's going to last, according to what I read in the papers. But,
what a flex.
Anyway, so I may not be qualified much longer to talk about anything. But I would just say that I think Kyle needs to lean less on his father and more on Brian Griese, who is a student of Mike Shanahan. Mm. And I think that he also maybe needs to take a little bit more. I thought Mike's mistake was he didn't take a little bit more interest in the defense. And I would say that for Kyle, because it's not only the running game, but it's also what you guys have seen out there in the defensive line and the defensive rush. It's not of the strength that it's been in the past. I mean, and so you got to control the lines. You know, I'm not telling you guys anything or anybody that's listening anything. You got to control both lines of scrimmage, and they're not doing that. And that's the result. They're putting themselves in third and long, and that's not when Purdy's at his best, honestly. And the Mike Shanahan philosophy, which Kyle Shanahan follows, was you try and pick up 6-7 yards on first down. Don't put yourself in third down positions. Well, when that stopped happening in Denver because of changes in the offensive line, we're seeing that kind of happen in San Francisco, where you're not getting 6 and 7 yards on a running play on first down. So you're being pressed into more third downs. Defensively, you're not stopping third downs. I can't give you the exact statistic, but I've seen the 49ers enough to know you're not stopping people on third downs. So you're not making on third downs, you're not stopping on. So offensive and defensive lines, defensive rush, getting yardage early on. I think there'll be some changes significantly on both sides coming up, because the 49ers have got to go on a 3-1 run, and they don't have the easiest schedule. Going to Buffalo is, you know,
no doubt,
past the Kansas City Chiefs. That's not going to be a bargain.
No doubt, Woody. And, no doubt. So, Woody, we got to run here. We're hitting against it. We got to do this again, man. We can do story time with you all day, every day. So, Woody, we appreciate the time this morning.
I appreciate the invitation, and I wish you guys well. I listen to you every time I'm in town, and I haven't been in town in a couple of years.
You probably turned it off so damn quick, like, ooh, who are these jabronis, man? It ain't, who's my guy, Benjamin Albright, out there in Denver, man, with a KOA radio or something like that. Woody, man, you're the best, man. We always enjoy you on the Ride Horn. Big fan of you, man. Thanks so much for the time this morning.
Thank you, guys.
Anytime. Denver Gazette, Woody Page, all-time winner on the Round the Horn, Colorado Sports Hall of Fame. He definitely gave John Miller a run for his money.